LBC 97.3. Call 0845 606 973. Text 84850. Tweet at LBC 973. This is London's biggest conversation with Emma Barnett.
Good afternoon, hope you're well today, and thank you very much for joining me, Emma Barnett, today on LBC 97.3. Now, I don't know if you saw the front of the Observer newspaper today, but one of the country's most experienced prison governors has condemned the use of short-term sentences that put thousands of women behind bars every year. I was just fascinated by this story. It's just completely grabbed my imagination, and I haven't been able to stop thinking about it since I read it, but in a letter to the Justice Secretary, Ken Clark, Clive Chatterton, very experienced prison governor, has stated that his final role of governor of Stile Women's Prison in Cheshire left him so disturbed and bewildered that he feels now he's had to write and say that urgent reform is needed to ensure that something is done about these prison sentences for these women, many of whom he describes as completely and utterly vulnerable. And just to give you some of the statistics, as of January last year, 4,124 women and girls are in prison. That's increased by 30% over the last decade. And a third of women in prison have no previous convictions. That's more than double the figure for men. And in 2010, at least 17,000 children were separated from their mother who had been put into custody. And what I want to know from you, and I'll give you more context about this as we go through this particular discussion, is should we be pushing women behind bars, especially if they have children? They have different needs to men. They are very, very vulnerable, these women that are going into prison. 80% of the women in prison have an identifiable mental health illness, and a third of women in prison right now have children. And some of them are just going in for extremely short periods because the judges don't know what else to do with them. Surely we can do better than ruining their lives, their children's lives, and putting them behind lock and key. Surely they can be in a women's centre where, yes, they may have to stay overnight, but provisions can be made for children. But the most important point is surely they should be being rehabilitated rather than just banged up, which is exacerbating already really, really poor mental health conditions. Should we be putting women behind bars? Should we abolish prisons for women?
LBC 97.3, London's biggest conversation with Emma Barnett.
I mean, this time last week, my mum was in so much pain. And if I could have done something, I would have, because I love her. I loved her so much, and I would have done anything to take the pain away.
I'm sure you would have done, Julie. I mean, did you ever have that conversation with your mother? Because obviously, working with the elderly, she's, as you say, got this insight.
She always said to me, and when I found out a couple of months ago that my mum wasn't going to get any better, if I had had the money, I would have took her there, because, I mean, I was very lucky anyway. She died in my arms at home. It's very, very nice, if it can be nice. Mm. But that was nice that we had that choice. I had the choice to take her home. And she didn't die in a hospital that she really didn't want to die in.
And what about the government then? You know, this vote that's going to be happening. Would you feel...
The thing is, they haven't looked after their mum like I looked after my mum. It's not personal enough to them. It's all very clinical and paper and move them around and that. To actually talk to people that are going for it and have lived it...
They want this option.
They should listen. Yes, I think people should have that option.
Julie, if you had the money, as you say, you would have taken her.
I would have taken her.
And would you have been frightened? Would you have been frightened, Julie, about the ramifications?
I would have dealt with that afterwards.
So you were willing, potentially, because it is illegal,
to watch my mum in any more pain. If I had a dog that was ill last year, and I took him to the vets, and I had him put down because he was terminally ill, he had cancer, he was ill, and I couldn't watch him suffer. And I had him put down, as most people do, because you love them.
London's biggest conversation with Emma Barnett.
And did your mum die from an some kind of overdose, or did she just...
No, she had a cirrhosis of the liver. Most of her organs were shot away. She developed cancer in the lungs because she was a heavy smoker as well. And it just, it's just such a waste.
Do you have children, Terry?
No, I don't. I've never been married. As a result, I'm not a big, I don't drink alcohol at all. I don't take prescription medication because there's always this worry. We talk about people suffering with addictions and it's genetic. Well, I lost my mum, I lost my sister. And for me, the biggest loss was my sister because she didn't need to go down that way, but she thought it was just acceptable and that's how people behave.
And have you managed to, I mean, have you fought yourself the desire to drink?
No, I've just never done it. It's just I don't like the smell, I don't like the taste, and I don't know whether that's because there was always the smell of booze in the house. In the morning, you'd get up and you could smell the booze on her breath. You'd come home on a Saturday after you'd been out doing something with the school and you could smell the booze in the house. Or you'd get home on a Saturday evening after doing some babysitting, you could smell the booze on her breath.
And your sister, Terry, I mean, how old was she when she started drinking?
Well, she was always a social drinker, just a couple of glasses of wine, maybe, the odd spirits. But unfortunately, when she had her second baby, it sort of like hit. And she got really depressed and she just started drinking as a way of taking away the pain.
Mm.
She'd seen my mum do it, thinking, well, things will get better, I'll only have one or two. We had a big argument before she died saying, you've got to stop. You're ruining your life. You've got two young kids.
And what's happened, what's happened to the children, Terry?
They're still, well, they're growing up now. I just go and see them as often as I can because I work long hours, but it's the worry that my niece will develop it. She'll see the vicious cycle starting again.
Do you think it is something genetic? Do you think there is something?
Yeah, I think with the sort of addiction I've seen those both two go with, yeah, I do think it is. Or it's you see it as acceptable, and it's just it's so sad. You're thinking why we argued. She'd not drink for a little while and then something would go wrong, or she'd get bored because she didn't work, because she brought the kids up and she gave up. My sister was really talented. I would struggle with schoolwork. She'd just sail through.
Really?
She was phenomenal at, she could dress, you could give her a bit of material, she'd make something exquisite. She'd paint.
It's amazing because you look at somebody, you hear about your sister and you look at somebody like Whitney Houston and they've got such talent and then it's just gone or it gets ravaged by, as you say, the addiction of something you can just buy over the counter.
Emma Barnett.
Just to put this into a bit of perspective, almost 2 million people in the UK are living with sight loss and every day another 100 people in Britain start to lose their sight. This is in spite of 50% of sight problems being avoidable. Now, the reason this story struck such a chord with me is that I am severely short-sighted and at the moment I'm having terrible trouble with my own vision because I have worn my contact lenses too much and the surface of my eye has been described as something akin to having eczema on it. And I got terribly frightened because about 3 months ago, my vision was just completely and utterly going. I thought it was blurred. I didn't know what was wrong. My eyes were permanently red. And it's extremely frightening and debilitating when you think, that's it. It's about to go. What can I do about it? Not very much. And having to wear my glasses all the time now, avoiding contact lenses. But honestly, the nerves that I had through thinking that my eyesight was, you know, going to actually leave me at an early age in my life, I can't even explain how scared I was. So reading about this, and yes, you could say Dame Judi Dench, she's 77 years old, but it is terrifying, whatever age you are, to have some kind of eye issue. So do give me a call on 0845 6060973. How do you cope if you're losing your sight? And maybe you're gradually losing it, and you've also got the situation where there's nothing you can do, but you've got to kind of get used to life in those different stages with different amounts of vision.
Emma Barnett.